You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 160. I am your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight we explore the mysteries of the Moana Surf Rider Hotel. And as an extra added bonus, we describe why the last podcast sucked so bad. Oops. All right. Well, hello and welcome back. It's nice to be back here. You know, it's funny. I've had a couple weeks that have been a bit disjointed. I had recorded a couple episodes super early because I had to, because Chris and Rachel were taking a bit of a vacation. How dare they? And then I took my own vacation. I actually ended up being in Hawaii for a wedding for just a handful of days. And while I was there, I realized, I was like, oh my God, I have to record my episode. But hey, I'm going to try and do it on my phone. And I do have to say, you guys, so the last episode was on the Royal Hawaiian. And I had stayed there very briefly in the past, and I really liked the history of it. And in terms of the content was fine for actually a really good show. But as those of you who have listened to episode 159 experienced, the sound just sucked. And oh, I'm so sorry about that. In my slimmest of slim defenses, it's funny. We can't really listen to our podcasts right after we record them. We sort of send them straight in to be edited. So we're doing it a bit in the blind. And the one on the Royal Hawaiian was triply bad because not only was I doing it in the blind, I was using my phone instead of my computer. I was using the hotel's Wi-Fi system, which I think if you can hear, I talk about how it goes out as I'm doing my podcast. I had not had problems with the Wi-Fi the entire time I was there, but of course, during a podcast, I saw my phone flip to 5G and I was like, damn it, damn it, damn it. And it just fell on its face. I was really surprised, honestly, even with all those mishaps live. I did want to try something live. I do love the idea of walking around live with my phone recording this. And I've also recorded stuff with the mic that I used on my phone. It was just a regular earbuds with a mic, but I've done that in the past actually, and it came out pretty good. So I actually was shocked at how terrible it was, especially near the end. I've actually recorded the ocean before and it came out good, but this time it just came out terrible. And I, in honesty, I don't know why it came out so bad. I think it's a combination of the mic and just the upload speed or something. It was very strange, but I am sorry about that. And do know that while I may do episodes on the fly, I like talking off the top of my head, as you guys have, I'm sure, experienced. I do take pride in having steel in the walls, if that makes sense. I do take pride doing my research. I do take pride in organizing the podcast, you know, with sort of a beginning, middle, and end. I do have kind of a sheet of notes that I kind of have kind of bullet points just to keep me, just to kind of keep me on track. But I do like just talking in a natural way. And I hope that works out. But obviously last episode, it didn't. So that's what happened. Sorry about that. Every so often you just try something and it fails fabulously. I did realize in all of that, one thing I didn't describe too terribly well is there's this one photo in the Royal Hawaiian that does look just like The Shining, the Jack Nicholson movie, The Shining. And the photo itself is of a bunch of people at a party. It's at the Royal Hawaiian. So just picture, it's like this grand hallway at the Royal Hawaiian. And there's like you know, there's like 150 people crammed in there, and it's 1927. They all look like flappers, you know, and it's this moment in time, and it does look a little creepy and haunty, just like the photo from The Shining. It was uncanny. Anyway, so how am I going to attempt to resurrect my destruction? Well, first, the show tonight is going to be about the Moana Surf Rider, which is the one other hotel on Waikiki that is actually older than the Royal Hawaiian. It was built in 1901. The Royal Hawaiian was built in 1927. And you may be asking, what does this have to do with archaeology? And these are both fair balls, because both of those hotels are on the National Register of Historic Places. So these are historic homes. And in the archaeology world, we have to deal with these kind of laws. It's a central part of archaeology, especially in the United States, right? So the National Register is part of the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. So this is very central to archaeology. So I do feel that, again, going over this is a fair ball. And then what makes it pseudo-archaeology is we can talk about some very famous stories of hauntings and ghosts and this kind of thing that go with these hotels. It reminds me a little bit of when we did shipwrecks, or also old ships that are still afloat, like historic ships. Very similar in content. And I'm cool with it, man. And I do think some of these stories are really, really fun. Speaking of fun, my last bit on the Royal Hawaiian, I forgot to list some of the famous people who had stayed at the Royal Hawaiian. Again, the Royal Hawaiian built in 1927, right on Waikiki Beach, the Pink Palace. Some of the famous people, check this out, in no particular order, we have Shirley Temple, Clark Gable, Marilyn Monroe, as part of the filming of Blue Hawaii, which, of course, that also adds in Elvis Presley. And I do have to say, while we were there, we saw like this sort of, speaking of the world of the pseudo, a pseudo luau, which also included a performance in a quite large theater of an Elvis impersonator, which I do have to say, you guys, kind of kicked ass. I actually really liked it. And Elvis does have connections to Hawaii, right? I mean, he'd been there, he's filmed these movies, he had his comeback special and all that stuff. So that's very cool. Frank Sinatra, Elizabeth Taylor, President Franklin Roosevelt, Duke Kahanamoku, who is famous, kind of thought of as like the father of surfing, like the surfer 1.0, right? Olympic gold medalist. Really awesome story. Amelia Earhart, who I talked about in the last podcast, famous Spencer Tracy, famous actor Bing Crosby, Helen Keller, George Burns and Gracie Allen, Mary Pickford, who's a famous silent film actress at the time, Lucille Ball, and check this out. The last one listed here is Prince Edward, who is the Duke of Windsor, who became King Edward VIII, right? He's the one who's famous. 1936, he abdicated from the throne. He's the one that, like, Queen Elizabeth II hated, because Queen Elizabeth II, her father had to become king, and she felt like her uncle basically killed her father because her father was so stressed out with the job and all that kind of stuff. But check this out. This actually really bums me out, and not for the reason you think. There's this line here. I'm actually looking at a website. It's called just the Hawaii Luau Company, but you can find these lists anywhere. And this list is also on AI. If you look up like famous people who stayed at the Royal Hawaiian, you know how that AI list comes up? Well, this one comes up first, is the Prince Edward. And the story of Prince Edward actually kicks ass, but it says that he stayed at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel in 1920. And his visit was very important and famous and all that kind of stuff. But take a minute. Stayed at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel in 1920. It was built in 1927, you guys. He didn't stay at the Royal Hawaiian. He most likely stayed at the Moana Surf Rider, which we'll talk about later. And it doesn't bum me out because it takes away from the Moana Surf Rider. That's okay. Like any person who's careful can see this. But what bums me out is this totally incorrect piece of information is now everywhere. AI has picked it up from this list and some other lists, and everywhere, if you look it up, everywhere it says Prince Edward stayed at the Royal Hawaiian in 1920, and it's wrong. And I know it's like a little thing, but it shows you the awful side of AI and just the awful, stupid side of algorithms in general. You know, it's like, damn it. And I really like this example because it's obvious and it's small and it serves as such a warning of like, do not trust all that AI generated crap like at the top of the post. It's based on the AI just scans all this stuff, you know, and puts it up, and it doesn't matter. And think about the sources online in the modern world. They just suck. So it's a bummer. But let's take that frown and turn it upside down, friends. Because when we return, let's get into the Moana Surf Rider. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 160. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and we are about to take the deep dive, my friends, into the Moana Surf Rider. And how do I know about the Moana Surf Rider? Well, after my destruction of episode 159, that late afternoon, I actually walked over to the Moana Surf Rider. Funnily enough, everyone else, our party, the wedding party, everyone else had left. They were going different places, and for whatever reason, I was left alone. I had this late flight back home. And so I had some time to just kind of hang out. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to walk over the Moana Surf Rider. I've never really like experienced it. And I got to say, the short answer, my experience was pretty awesome. So it's just down the way from the Royal Hawaiian, and you're on the pristine beach on Waikiki, right? It's just, there ain't nothing better. And so I walked up from the beach. And when you come in from the beach side, it's like the whole hotel is shaped like an H laying down. So it kind of has two wings jutting out right towards the beach. And there's kind of a central plaza. And then the other main part of the hotel is kind of further back. So it's like a U from there. But then there's also another side to it. I walked up. They have a really nice bar and this really nice open area. And again, this is probably right after sunset. And there's just this, that open plaza area is just awesome. It is filled with a huge banyan tree, right? So the hotel kind of hugs this massive banyan tree. I love banyan trees. The banyan tree at the Moana Surf Rider is actually a registered landmark tree. So it has like special precautions that keep it safe. That's like really awesome. There's another very famous banyan tree on the island of Maui. Some of you might have, if you've ever been to Maui, it's like the banyan tree in Lahaina, which actually was heavily damaged in the fire, but I do think will grow back. There's a banyan tree as well at the Royal Hawaiian. And I have to be honest, friends, I have to admit something. I stole 5 banyan seeds from the tree at the Royal Hawaiian, and I brought them home across state lines. I'm a criminal. But yeah, I'm trying to plant them. I want to see if I can grow my own banyan tree from the famous Hawaiian ones. Anyway, the hotel had that sort of massive banyan tree there. And the hotel itself was built in 1901, right? So while the Royal Hawaiian's from the 20s, Royal Hawaiian has more of that 20s flapper, ostentatious, but in a great way, Spanish style vibe. Which, again, it's killer. And on the inside, it almost has a bit of what I would think of as the Titanic. even though that's not quite right, just sort of feels like it. I'm telling you guys, the Moana Surf Rider being like 26 years older, it totally feels Victorian. It totally feels haunted house, right? It feels to me like the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, right? Have you been there? The Disneyland Haunted Mansion, man. The Moana Surf Rider was done in what they call, I think, the Italian Renaissance style, but it's got those columns out front. It's kind of like, to me, it has a lot of Victorian vibe to it, but with columns, but very kind of what we think of as a cliche haunted house. And so as soon as I saw that and experienced that, I was like, this is why there's so many haunted stories here. It just feels like a haunted house. And it really has this feeling, too, of being in like New Orleans or the South. You know, the Banyan Tree adds to it. The Banyan Tree has these big buttress roots and it's just this big overhanging expansive thing. And because of the architecture, too, the Moana Surf Rider has porches all over the place, which are great. They have porches and the people who own it have really doubled down on it. So there's like rocking chairs all over. And so I sat in like the rocking chair and it's evening, you know, and you're sitting at the banyan tree and you're just chilling and you're just transported back, man. It's like 1901 all over again. Really cool. As I walked in to the hotel itself, it has this big sort of open lobby area. It's all kind of white. It's all wood. It has that very wood vibe, but white, like white painted wood, whitewashed wood, you know. It has a huge staircase that goes, you know, that goes up to sort of the second floor and onward. I believe it's 4 stories tall or so, somewhere in there. I might be off by like 1, but very impressive. They've made it, the lobby and stuff, kind of a museum vibe too, where there's just stuff from Hawaii's past. There's a couple little side rooms where you can go in and watch little videos on, you know, Moana Surf Rider in the early days. I just chilled there for a while and it was just really fun, like walking around, hanging out. Really has that transportive vibe. I can't get it. It's like, yep, it's 1901. Another thing I love, they are one of the very few hotels, maybe the only one. They actually have a porch on the Waikiki side, so the opposite side from the beach. And it's way high, too. It's like high up, like at the higher end of the columns. It's like if you're looking at the White House, it's like the second or third floor, like above. You're out front, but like kind of right underneath the columns. It's cool. And there's this big sort of open porch up there, and they have rocking chairs there too, and you just chill and you just watch the hustle and bustle of Waikiki. And I really dug that. Of course it's loud, but it's active and living and there's lights, and good for them for taking that in, because so many, basically all other hotels are gonna mask that, you know, and they're gonna try and like get away from it. And the Moana Surf Rider's just like, look, our hotel's old, it was made in a way that half of it faces on the main drag of Waikiki, so we're taking it in. Good for them. The Royal Hawaiian doesn't do that. The Royal Hawaiian does feel like an island unto itself, which has its own joy. You know, you can get away from the hustle and bustle. It feels quiet there, where the Surf Rider feels more kind of energetic. So as you can tell from my voice, I had a blast that evening, you guys, just walking around, experiencing it, looking at all the images they had, and just sort of sitting and rocking on the rocking chairs on the porch, you know, really, really well done. So, another thing I noticed was that the hallways were kind of wide, and you would expect an old hotel to have like narrower hallways. Hallways were wide, and just picture wooden, white, high ceilings, very Victorian in its style. But I'm like, what's the deal with the wide hallways? And I was looking it up. And you guys, I looked it up on like Google or something, like Wikipedia, I can't remember. But the hallways were wide so they could deal with the steamer trunks from the people coming to the Moana Surfrider. Isn't that awesome? You know, those huge steamer trunks? Because we have to remember the early 20th century, you're not flying in a plane over to Hawaii. You're taking a boat from like San Francisco or LA, right? You're taking several days on a boat. So it's its own, a very different style of travel. And the architecture shows it. They also have like kind of windows all over the place and ways to get air to circulate. And that's because, of course, no AC, man, no air conditioning in 1901. So you got that. And I've seen this in other places. I also wonder if it's, they thought at the time they needed to do this to protect from tuberculosis. I know I've seen that in other places. So I wonder if that was also another reason for this sort of open, airy, let air blow around, you know, in the inside of the building. So as time went on, it's built in, obviously, 1901. And then as it goes onward, of course, the Surfrider, it experiences American history. So you have the crash of 1929 and the Depression. Travel is just going to get hit so bad during the Depression era years. But during the Depression, they actually start a radio broadcast from the Moana Surfrider that lasted like 40 years. It's called Hawaii Calls. It was from 1935 to 1975. It ran. And the hiss of the radio presentation, the people listening to it thought it was the waves, you know, that like, psss, you know, and because they wanted that romantic sound because it's before television, you know. And so the announcers like leaned into it. But they also said when they realized that the listeners thought that the hissing of the audio was the waves, they went out and recorded real wave sounds. Right. And that was part of the joy of just listening into this. You could be transported in your mind's eye to the, you know, awesome beaches of Waikiki. Sadly, that's exactly what I was trying to do with my last podcast. I really was. I was like, hey, this ending is going to be great. I'm recording the ocean waves. But as we've all learned, the Hawaii Calls radio broadcast from 1935 did a better job of that than I did 90 years later. Well, as the decades passed, the Moana is, of course, one of the very rare hotels in Waikiki, maybe the Royal Hawaiian being maybe the only other, that has stayed true to its original roots. And that historical preservation vibe, the National Register of Historic Preservation aspect of it, has made it cool, right? No other hotel can sell that. No other hotel can sell 1901 in Hawaii. It's it. And so good for them, right? And it would have been hard some of those decades. They would have totally had pressure to tear it down and make something brand spanking new in 1958, you know, it's so cool they didn't. Anyway, when we return, the haunting of the Moana Surfrider. Hello, and welcome back one last time to episode 160 of the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast. I'm your host one last time, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and we have been discussing the Moana Surfrider Hotel. And finally, we're going to do the haunted part, which is all you care about. Right before the haunted part, though, I want to remind you that, yes, the Royal Hawaiian has all the awesome people that went there all over the time, but you know who hung at the Moana Surfrider? Agatha Christie. Yeah, I believe she stayed there in 1922. Oh, that's killer in more ways than one. And then, as I said before, Edward VIII, you know, Mr. Duke of Windsor himself. One thing I really like also about Prince Edward's stay is there's a photo of him surfing. I think Duke Kahanamoku actually gave him lessons. That's awesome. And getting a photo of you surfing, it looked like it was taken from in the water in 1920. Good for them. Like, impressive. Anyway, the haunting. There are several stories of hauntings or unexplained events at the Moana Surfrider. I will give you the most famous one first. And this has to do with a woman named Jane Stanford. Yes, the last name Stanford. You're like the university? Exactly like the university. Jane Stanford was the co-founder of Stanford University. And she will meet a bitter end, believe, on March 1st, 1905. How this goes down, this is crazy. She was living in San Francisco in early 1905. And she is the victim of an attempted poisoning on January 14th, 1905 in San Francisco. She lives in the Nob Hill area. Translation, where all the rich people live. So she is the victim of an attempted poisoning with strychnine. And so she's like, oh, somebody's trying to kill me. I'm going to go to Hawaii. She gets rid of her maid because we always suspect the maid, right? She gets rid of her maid, but has her personal secretary stay with her on the trip. So they leave for Hawaii. And again, as we've talked about before, they got to get on a boat and take a boat from San Francisco to Hawaii. They get there. And then the night of February 28th, 1905, she becomes ill again. Right. And she's like freaking out. She becomes deathly ill. She dies the next day. Coroner gives her body some tests, and they find that she's died of strychnine poisoning. And the murder was never solved. And at the time, the number one person they thought who did it or was suspect in all this stuff was the current president of Stanford. I believe his name was David Starr Jordan. They suspected him. Now, friends, with what we know now, with all the types of true crime that we've seen and whatnot, who did this? Yes, let's say it all together. Her personal secretary. Her personal secretary's name was Bertha Berner. And if your name's Bertha Berner, you're angry. So, and I do believe until this day, this is like a unknown, right? An unsolved murder. The world's most obvious unsolved murder. Like strychnine both times? Are you kidding? I mean, again, I'm laughing. I hope you're laughing too. The cops are like, I don't know. Strychnine, what are the chances? I know. The world works in mysterious ways. So she dies. And of course, ever since then, people have reported seeing a ghostly presence in Victorian era clothing. Yes. Obviously the ghost of Jane Stanford coming to get ya. Right. So they've reported this Victorian like apparition floating around. Guests have said they have felt chills unexplained. Right. And all the sort of accoutrement that goes with that. Yeah. So that's the big one, right? The apparition of Jane Stanford floating along, very pissed at her personal secretary. The second apparition that has been reported at the Moana Surfrider, the young girl. They see a young girl, also, I believe, dressed in a Victorian fashion, sometimes playing at the bottom of the staircase. Those who have been able to look upon her countenance say that she looks friendly, but a little sad, as if she's searching for someone who never came to get her. Okay. The third most popular ghost sighting at the Moana Surfrider. Now, friends, a lot of this has, let's be honest, a lot of cliche with it, right? Jane Stanford's great because it's a real story. That one kicks ass. I got to give it to you. I love that story. But then the girl, And then playing on the stairs is like, that's every cliche. A little girl would play on the stairs, you know, this kind of thing. Before I tell you, what's the other cliche ghost? What kind of person does a lot of dying over time, right? And let's, then they're not sickly. Yes, you guessed it. A soldier, right? And they've reported seeing the soldier floating along. Some say World War II attire. It is true that both the Moana Surf Rider and the Royal Hawaiian were used as, I think, basically a sort of a barrack situation, but also sort of a recoup area during World War II where some of the soldiers could just hang out, you know, a little bit, which is that's awesome. So that is true to the story. So that's the third one. Pretty cliche. And then the fourth category, I would just say there's a general category of footsteps, voices, creaks and bangs, and odd temperature changes. Now, I can tell you this much. I grew up in a 1920 Craftsman home. And while it is 19 years newer than the Moana Surf Rider, I'll tell you this much. Any old structure like that, oh, my friend, get used to some creaks and bangs and temperature changes. I mean, those are some like drafty spots. And also think of it. Well, I've also told you the Moana Surf Rider was made to be drafty. So all of these things are already in place. And hearing footsteps, this is a huge wooden building. You are going to hear everyone's footsteps everywhere. So in terms of the, what we would say, the sort of veracity of these ghost sightings, I don't put too much veracity into it. These are all just, I get it though, because you're prepped for it, right? We live in a culture that has the haunted mansion at Disneyland, where the culture tells us that a building that looks like that, that's where ghosts are, right? That's where the haunting is. And if you go in there, and of course they play this up, and I don't blame them, you know, the Moana Surf Rider, the place of the haunting and the ghosts. And I'm sure they have, you know, ghost tours you can go on and that kind of stuff. I think I saw an ad for one, but you know, it's all in good fun. And hey, you're a little tipsy from your Mai Tai, you cruise around. Ooh, what was that around that other corner? I mean, hey man, it's cheap fun. So that's the deal, right? Brings us to today. We've had a range of emotions, learned a little about Jane Stanford. Kind of sad. Like, man, imagine surviving an attempted strychnine poisoning and then like going to Hawaii and getting poisoned again. Damn. That's harsh. It's a fascinating place, my friends. If you ever, you know, so many of us, those of us who are fortunate enough to go to Waikiki or something like that, if you're ever there, it's very much worth a walk along Waikiki Beach and just go up to the Moana Surf Rider and to the bar area right there under the banyan tree. Oh, people talk about, you know, having feelings and seeing spirits around the banyan tree. The banyan tree itself at night, they light in like a dull blue light itself. But if you're ever there, go there, enjoy it, right? Sit in one of the rocking chairs, go to the bar, order a Mai Tai, and just realize you're in Waikiki and life is awesome. And with that, I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.